A Benson Diary, and this is by John Murphy. And it starts with a poem by Robbie Burns called Winter, a Dirge. The wintry west extends his blast, and hail and rain doth blaw. O'er the stormy north sends driving forth the blinding sleet and snore. While tumbling brown, the burn comes down and roars for a bank to bray, and bird and beast and covert rest and pass the heartless day. The last week has been full of that heartless cold of winter's weeping mists. It has all been more arctic frost than romantic snow. The cold snaps at our heels and penetrates our joints. But human dismay makes for a sort of doggy paradise. Milo and Finn dash happily about the frozen woods or along the shapely edge of Cow Common, chasing the odd rabbit and barking to the sky. I know it's only been a week or so, but what looks picturesque in books and on Facebook photos is pretty charmless in its bleak reality. But modern media are never slow to exploit a moment. I caught a bit of a documentary on BBC Four from the days of Cliff Michelmore and Tonight on the infamous winter of 1963. Weather maps, hand-drawn and displayed on a series of easels, were about as high-tech as the meteorology seemed to get. But the grainy black-and-white film brought to life a world I thought forever lost in memory's equally chilly mists. And I remembered how cold we'd been that long winter, how my school had been closed for much of January because of burst pipes, how the wonder of an army of snowmen with carrot noses quickly retreated before the bitter realities of all-consuming cold. We had no central heating. Our bedrooms were ice boxes warmed by hot water bottles. Snow quickly compacted into lethal sheets of ice. Before long, slipping over was routine. And our elderly neighbours became housebound. I recall shovelling snow from garden paths and footpaths outside houses. We fetched milk and bread and cigarettes, as I recall. How very different the times and their moors. I also recall being caught in the opening snowstorm on Boxing Day as we were driving back to Maidenhead from Kensworth House, which was a large manor house in quite the grand 19th century fashion, worthy of a visit from Lady Bracknell in pursuit of Gwendolen, nestled in what was then still the leafy country hedging of villages beyond the newly built boundary of Luton. It was where my brother was a novitiate. Dad was driving a green minivan which had two rumble seats in the back for me and my sister. As we left, the snow was so thick the wipers could not clear the windscreen. Dad didn't dare stop in case we couldn't start again. Cars were not as certain as they've become. These were, of course, the times when all the shops and corner shops were closed over these days of Christmas and streetlights in the villages were unusual. It was pitch black along the winding snow-white roads home. I think Mum was saying her rosary in the front. I also think my sister and I were both scared and elated. As I was about 9, everything probably seemed to be an adventure of sorts. Driving out this morning with the dogs to Cow Common brought these memories back to mind as well. The airfield along to Ewelm was lost in impenetrable freezing fog. But as we parked, the sun was struggling to break through, and by the time we were halfway round the common, there was some blue sky, and a milky sun was casting its pearl iridescence on the common's foggy bottom. That part of Cow Common has not recovered from the floods last January. And have any of us? If fires burn in Southern California, hereabouts we have become a place of flood, a water world forever on the brink of inundation. I recall reverberations from science lessons, when the first laments about climate change and man-made warming of the planet sounded an alarm. Unlike the millennium bug we all feared the world might catch, the climate has been a slow burn, and we've become gradually habituated to creeping elements of its destructive portmanteau. It also owns effects on our political worlds, which are being reshaped by the impromptu half-truths of media tycoons, who think many of us may usefully perish so as to leave the world to them. Predators, however, tend to be early victims of catastrophes, political or environmental. Apt at the same time, there's also the grand finale of the long goodbye to Jimmy Carter, which reminds us of how the values of integrity, honour and simple decency endure through triumph and disaster. These snowy January days here have one last ghosting memory that stirs, that of President Kennedy's famous inaugural address delivered on the west front of the Capitol in an ice-bound Washington, D.C. In 1961, Washington, D.C. had no mayor. In fact, it still owns no full representatives in Congress. Although D.C. has a larger population than Wyoming, which has two U.S. senators and one member of the House of Representatives, the District of Columbia has no senators and has no members of the House of Representatives who can vote. It is an anomaly. For all those claims the U.S. Founding Fathers carved out a republic in the image of the philosophers of the Enlightenment, the truth was the U.S. Constitution was never quite as enlightened as the grand claims made for it. If our unwritten Constitution is very much the product of making do and mending, those sweeping claims of the Declaration of Independence was just as much a flawed work in progress, and is likely in any age to be a step back as a spring forward. What could be more backward-looking this cold, cold January than the circumstance of President Donald J. Trump's re-entry to the pomp of power? As the poet has it, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. And now I continue with the winter poem by Robbie Burns. The sweeping blast, the sky o'ercast, the joyless winter day. Let others fear, to me more dear than all the pride of May. The tempest's howl, it soothes my soul, my griefs it seems to join. The leafless trees my fancy please, their fate resembles mine.